Last time we were discussing, we ended off by discussing how is it possible that that a person doesn't carry out his mission. If we learned very clearly that the kochos hanefesh, when I say kochos hanefesh, I mean everything from the guf to the nefesh to the seichel, aided to serve our Creator, and we learned very precisely the Maharal's understanding of the Gemara in Kedushin Pei Beis. That the lion and the deer and the fox were not created to use their brute strength or their speed or their creativity and cleverness in order to make a living, to put food on the table. So all the more so a human being. So then we asked the question. We ended off asking the question. So then, how is it possible that we ever stray from our mission? And the answer, in two words, is Yetzer Hara. The fact is that we want to do what's right. In our heart of hearts, we have a strong desire to serve Hashem, but the Yetzer Hara sidetracks us, and it's really a big chizik once you know this idea, because what the Maharal is revealing to us, and he started to hint to it, we'll learn more about it in the fourth parak, is that when a Jew does an Aveira, it's a break from Seder, it's just not normal. There's something not right about you when you do an Aveira, it's unnatural. That's why the Gemara in Sota says, Ein Adam over Aveira, ke nechnas bo ruach shtus. You're a shota. You're acting crazy. It's a moment of temporary insanity when a yid comes to do an Aveira. Okay? So let's continue now, and tonight we're going to discuss what separates us as human beings from other human beings. In other words, what makes Klal Yisrael different? And really, the Maharal alludes to, almost addresses it directly, but certainly alludes to, and somewhat addresses, the question of why is not everyone Jewish? Why couldn't it be? And it bothers people, by the way. This question I find is a very bothersome question for some people. There's 7.5 billion people in the world, and a very, very tiny percentage are Jewish. An even smaller percentage know that there's such a thing as Torah and mitzvos. So why is it? Why does the world? Why does creation itself demand that there should be this elitist club of individuals who have this deep secret called Torah? Okay, so enough out of me, let's jump right in. Amnam kol hamin mibnei Adam. We're on the top line over here. Amnam kol, on page Sadi. Amnam kol hamin mibnei Adam. E efshar shiyu shavim kulam nafsham. It's not possible. It's true, we spoke about inanimate objects, and we spoke about plants, and we spoke about animals, and we said human beings are certainly greater than animals. But the human beings also can't be lumped together. We can't equate everyone and say that everyone should be shaveh on the level of soul. And while it's true that I and my non-Jewish neighbor, Mark, happens to live next door, right? We both have, Baruch Hashem, two eyes and two arms and two legs, and he drives a car and I drive a car. He happens to wash his car a lot more than I wash mine, but okay. Right? But essentially, the toar pneum, the facial structure, the inyanim of eating and drinking and sleeping and going to the bathroom, and the things that make all humans equal, on a certain level, there is a commonality. We're not made, Jews are not physically created differently than non-Jews, but on the level of soul, it can't be that everyone's equal. Einam shavim b'mashiyesh chelek mehem yoser eloki mizulasam. The Jewish soul, the essential soul, the nefesh eloki, has to be different, qualitatively different than others, kemoshi yadua, as is well known, as is known. What the Maharal is alluding to here is the fact that, and he writes it more clearly elsewhere, in the Gvuras Hashem, in the footnotes here, it quotes from the fifth parak of Gvuras Hashem. Why couldn't we just have an Avram Avinu? Why is Avram the outsider? Why is Avram the Ivri? He's against the whole world. Why does the Navi say, Echad Haya Avram, he's one of a kind? Why couldn't there be more Avrams in the world? And the Maharal essentially explains in the Gvuras Hashem, and again, he's alluding to it here, that Brias Ha'olam, creation itself, by definition, is a Chisaron. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his infinite being and constricted himself to allow us to exist is very limiting. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating a world that's going to, on the one hand, reflect him, but of course it can't be him, even though on a certain deep level it is him. I know I'm saying complicated things. So on a certain level, the world, by definition, being a created being, it has to be less perfect than Hashem. At the same time, the point, our mission in this world, is to try to connect to Hashem. So as we learned when the Maharal was describing Where did we have it? In the introduction, when the Maharal was describing the three different levels? What were the three levels? When he spoke about, what was it? We had angels, and we had prophets, and we had human beings. What was it? Chachamim, Neviim, and Malachim. Remember that? When we spoke about the question of three different levels of Hasaga, right? You have Chachamim, which is a knowledge of this world. You have Neviim, which is sort of a bridge between this world and the next world. And you have angels who live in the higher realms. So on a certain level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that highest realm. You have to have human beings represent that lowest realm. And then you have a Klal Yisrael that represents that middle link in the chain, that sort of has the ability to connect essentially, not in a wishful thinking kind of way, but in an essential kind of way, a piece of Hashem inside of us to connect to Hashem, but to also be part of the physical world that I eat and I drink and I sleep and I have the same bodily structure as my neighbor. So says the Maharal, again, the fact that the world is not God, right? That would be very dangerous. That would be pantheism if we said that, you know, the nature is God. Right? We don't believe that. We may believe, Hasidus may believe something similar to that. Right? But to say the world is God, we don't believe such a thing. The world has to somehow be lower than Hashem, and therefore the world of necessity has to have individuals who, again, are not reflective of this highest order. And therefore, the Jewish people were fortunate enough to be selected to be those representatives of that highest order. Ki hanavua v'ruach hakodesh v'ashchina hayu miuchadim bo ha'am asher bachar bo Hashem yizbarach mizulas shar ha'amim akum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us different, and that comparison is that we just made a moment ago is a good one. Right? Just like Navua, we explained this sort of that bridge between a human being who's communicating with Hashem beyond. Navua is that bridge. Ruach HaKodesh, bringing the Shechina into this world, right? Paradoxical as that sound, is creating that point of connection between above and below. So that was given to a select group to the exclusion of the rest of the nations of the world. Ve'ein safek ki navua hachana b'nefesh ha'adam. Meaning the fact that the Jewish people are, in the words of Chazal, either Nevi'im, or if we're not Nevi'im, we're B'nei Nevi'im, every one of us, we're the children of prophets, means that we're more soulful. By definition, that means that we're more soulful. So the nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected to be his own are going to be more naturally inclined towards Nevuah, towards Ruach HaKodesh, towards an encounter with the Shechina. And the fact that when we came out of Mitzrayim, as Chazal say, Ra Shifcha Alayam, a simple maidservant leading Mitzrayim saw Nevuah greater than Yechezkel ben Buzi. Zekeli v'anveyu, marin be'etzpa, they were pointing towards the divine. So there must be something very essential about the Jewish soul and its connectivity, its ability to experience Nevuah. And that means that the level of nefesh elokis of a Jew is higher than a non-Jew, is higher than the rest of the world. It's the difference between being created b'tzelem elokim, which is every human being, and being called Banam Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, right? As much as I look like my neighbor Mark, my daughter Zahava looks more like my wife Elisa, right, than I look like Mark. Why? Because there's a parent-child relationship. So it's more manifest, and that, says the Maharal, is expressed through these levels of soulfulness that are uniquely Jewish. V'gam zem muchrach lomar. And again, the Maharal emphasizes it has to be this way. It's not possible that the whole world should be equal in terms of spiritual level. The world itself is, in fact, a physical world. And therefore what? World, a physical world, a world that's made up of chumrius, of physicality, is going to, again, of necessity, rebel somewhat against seichel, against dvarim elokim. The nature of teva, of the physical world, as we'll explain, is to reject the spiritual world. So the very fact that the world is made up of trees and rocks and dirt, it's a teva, it's a physical world. Even the heavenly host, the sun, the stars, which are wondrous, but they're physical. So it has to be from a physical standpoint, yes. From the physical nature of the world, everything, there is a certain equality to all. Now you'll tell me, hold on a second, right? It's one thing for me to say that I have a lot in common with my neighbor Mark, even though we're totally different. But it's a little bit strange to say that I have so much in common with everything else in the physical world. What do I have in common with a star? What do I have in common with the cherry blossom tree on our front yard? Right? Says the Maharal, Ve'im yimtza shinoi behem b'pnei shinoi hamakomos. And if you'll say, well, what do you mean? There's different trees that grow in different places, and people from different parts of the world, different countries, look different. Right? The Maharal says, that's not really a shinoi. Again, there's a bottom line, there's a common denominator to all of the physical world. The teva demands, there's a natural order that is sort of, again, that common denominator that is manifest within everything. Davar zeh eino nechshav shinoi klal. Right? The fact that a chicken and a cow are a little bit different, yeah, but there's a bottom line of commonality between them. But when it comes to the soul, we're talking about qualitative and quantitatively different madregos. Aval ha'alokius lo yimtza b'shava l'chol amin. Right? While the physical world has certain, you know, again, there's a certain, even in the scientific reality of my, there's more in common. I have more in common. My physical body has more in common with a rock, right, than my soul does with my non-Jewish neighbor. Why? Because in the spiritual realms, the Maharal says it's of necessity that there has to be qualitative differences. She'im hayinim selachol amin b'shaveh. And now he's answering the question, because if the whole world was given the Torah equally, if all the billions of people in the world had the same level of soul, then this world wouldn't be an Olam Teva. Then we'd be an Olam Haba. Then we'd be living in a spiritual, transcendent world. Because if this world was equal on a spiritual plane, then it wouldn't be a world of Teva, says the Maharal. We're over here on the page. Right? Rather, it would be an Olam Nivdal. It would be a transcendent spiritual world. But that's not true. That's not what we're up to. This world is not ready for that yet. Because that we would have had this common denominator of, again, of godliness. In which case, what makes the world, you know, what is its existence? So says the Maharal, in truth, this world is a world of teva. It's a world of teva. Ve'eino olam hanivdol. It's not a world that is transcendent. We're not there yet. V'davar zeh mechayev she'ein nimtza halokius l'chol ha'min b'shaveh. And therefore, for the world, for the physical world to sort of maintain its naturalness, its physicality, it can't be that everyone has Torah. It can't be that everyone is called banam atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. The world has to have a physical nature that almost rejects the spirituality, which is its secret. Again, v'davar zeh mechayev. Only a small portion of the world can, so to speak, carry that secret of the higher level soul. So now, all right. So now we got to decide: are we the spiritual bearers of the secret, or is the rest of the world right? So the Maharal says, obviously, ki akum, the nations of the world, they are much more naturally connected to teva, to the physical world. Lakach heim shivim umos, and therefore they number precisely 70 nations. Ki ha'olam hateva nivra b'shiva simei bereshis, because the number 7, and the Maharal talks about this all over the place, sevens and multiplicities of 7, like 70, represent the natural order of things. Ukineged sheva yimei ha'olam, hateva heim shivim umos, corresponding to the 7 days of creation, we have 70 nations. Can I get kol yom asara? Each day has within it, so to speak, 10 dimensions. 10 is a very whole number. That's why a minion is 10 people, right? That's why there are 10 spheros, right? So the number 70, so to speak, means like it's almost like maxing out the number 7. It's 7 in its fullest expression, 70. Maharal explains elsewhere, the 7 days of Sukkot, we bring 70 karbanos for the 70 nations of the world, right? So 7 and 70, the Maharal writes elsewhere, that shetoch mispar haklal mispar haprati, right? Within the general number are the specific numbers. So 7 and 70 are sort of one and the same. So the physical world was created in 7 days. And so much of our world revolves, the natural world revolves around sevens. One of my rebbeim, Rabbi Eitan Feiner, Shlita, once put together a list of like 500 examples of things of this world that have to do with the number 7. And if you know Rabbi Feiner, that's very much his style. I could send it to anyone who's interested. I think it's called, I have a PDF of it somewhere, The Ubiquitous Number 7 or something like that. He talks about sevens and multiplicities of seven. Your body is made up of 70% water, and the world is 70% water, and there's seven digits in your phone number. And the studies show that my mind can naturally hold up to seven numbers, and there's seven notes in a musical scale. And so many things of this world, there's 7 days in the week, and there's 7 years in a Shemitah cycle, and there's seven cycles of seven in a Yovel cycle. Everything of the physical world is made up of multiplicities of seven. The Vilna Gaon writes in one of his commentaries on the Zohar, he says that this world is a physical world, a world of Gashmius, and therefore it's sustained by Geshem, which is rain. And Geshem, the gematria of Geshem, says the Vilna Gaon, is 343, which is 7 times 7 times 7. Okay, so this world is sustained, so to speak. The natural world is the world of sevens. But my friends, we the Jewish people are the world of eight. Ha'uma ha'yechida ha'isa al ha'teva. But there was a nation that was selected to be above the sevens, so to speak. K'neged ha'shmini, l'mala min ha'teva. Ki ha'shmini hu al ha'teva. That's why after counting 7 weeks of 7 days, we come to the eighth week, and we get the Torah, which is beyond this world. A Jewish baby boy is born, and on the eighth day of his life, he changes his body to say, well, on the one end, I have a physical body like my non-Jewish neighbors, but at the same time, my body is different. The Arla represents the world of seven. Bris Milah is the world of eight. And that's why David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, he talks about, L'Natzeach al Hashminis L'Sidlavo. We're going to have an eighth note in the musical scale, whatever that even means. I mean, what does that mean? How do you get to an eighth note? But the Jewish people are representatives of that world of Shmini. When we learned that Parak Yutes back in the Haggadah, Parak Yutes of Tehillim, where it goes through all the six different expressions, right? Torah Hashem, Eidus Hashem, Pekudei Hashem, Mitzvah Hashem. The eighth pasuk of that Parak of Tehillim, Tehillim Yutes, which is all about Torah, the eighth pasuk is Torah Hashem Tamim. That's the eighth pasuk. Because eight represents Torah, eight represents Seichel Nivdal, eight represents Nefesh Elokis, eight represents Klal Yisrael. It's above the natural world. So the 70 nations, so to speak, corresponding to the 7 days of creation. Now you'll ask, well, Shabbos is beyond. Okay, Shabbos is the bridge. It's a complicated question. How do we understand Shabbos being, so to speak, the world beyond this world, but Shabbos being counted as one of the 7 days of creation? It's a good question for another time. But therefore, says the Maharal, Lakach, therefore it's fitting. Lakach roi li Yisrael ha-Torah shehi al olam ha-Teva. It makes sense that we should be given the Torah, which is above Teva. Va-Torah nivres kodem shenivra ha-olam. The Torah was created, in fact, the Gemara says, in the Darim, seven things are created before the world, and the first one on the list is Torah. Torah is beyond this world. It's beyond the natural world. V'Yisrael nivru gam ken kodem shenivra ha'olam ha'tiv. The first things Hashem had in mind, Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael shenikru Reishis. He thought us before there was a physical world. So the Torah and Klal Yisrael are a beautiful shidduch. Lakach, kol inyan ha'Torah shehi b'shmini. Torah, which again is so much connected to eight. Again, after 7 weeks of 7 days of sphere, we come to the eighth, which is Shavuos. In Tehillim Perek Yotes, the eighth pasuk is Torah Hashem Tamima. In Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, the Maharal writes elsewhere, Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes goes through the Aleph Beis. How many times for each letter? 8 times. Because the theme of Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes is Torah, is the role of Torah in our life. Anything has to do with Torah has to do with 8, transcendence, above this world. Ki ateva hi tachmas mispar sheva, because the natural world, again, is bound by the number 7. Umashahu ala teva hu shmini. Kamoshi is bar beperek she'achar zeh. As I will explain more barichas, says the Maharal, in the next perek. Chaver, let's finish for tonight a couple more lines. V'lakach, he says an amazing thing. And you see the precision of the Maharal's way of thinking. Lakach, says the Maharal, kol inyan ha-Torah shibashmini ki ha-tevu. Sorry, I've read that line. I'm going back and forth with my copy in front of me and the screen. Okay, good. U'lakach ha'uma ha-Yisraeli, and therefore the Jewish people, Asher bachar Hashem yisbarach lechelko, who were chosen to be Hashem's portion, chelak Hashem amo, heim nisyachdu bepu'ulos halokius. So my friends, this is sort of a continuation again of what we learned on Sunday. The question we ended with on Sunday was, why do we get sidetracked? And the answer is the Yetzirah. But be very careful that you don't think of yourself as not being matim for Torah and mitzvot. That would be a terrible mistake. A lot of the world is not matim for Torah mitzvahs, as we'll see Amir Tz Hashem next time. But the Jewish people are very much created and were selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the most natural seder of ourselves, the natural expression of self, is to do Torah and mitzvot, Shehei mitzvot haTorah. Lefi madregas nafshim alokis. We have that higher level soul that fits seamlessly with a life of Torah and mitzvot. So when we learn Torah and it doesn't make sense to us, we look at Torah and we say, Torah doesn't make sense. Right? When our children complain sometimes, you know, I don't get this mitzvah. It doesn't make sense. Why does God care? Or when we ourselves ask that question, why does Hashem care so much about this? The Torah doesn't make sense. You know what the Talmud Yerushalmi's answer to that is? The Talmud Yerushalmi says on the words, it's my favorite Yerushalmi. I don't know so many Yerushalmis, but Talmud Yerushalmi says on the pasuk, Ki lo davar reiku mikem. Right? Ki lo davar reiku mikem. The Torah says, the pasuk in Chumash, the Torah is not an empty thing for you. You know what the Talmud Yerushalmi says? Ki lo davar reiku, it's not an empty thing, comma, and if you have tainas against the Torah, if you think the Torah doesn't make sense, mikem, it's from you. It's your fault. Something's off. You're experiencing a moment again of temporary insanity. It's a ruach shtus that's taken hold of you. Because if you really knew who you are and you really knew who the Torah was, bereishis b'shvil haTorah b'shvil Yisrael shenikareishis. It's the most perfect shidduch in the world. So therefore, says the Maharal, Torah, mitzvos, fit beautifully with the people who are programmed with the ability of what? B'masha hayu mucharam l'nevuah. We have a natural ability. Again, b'nei neviim, every Jew is a child of prophets. V'ruach HaKodesh, we're people whose ruach HaKodesh comes naturally to. V'liyos HaShchina b'neiim, Hashem says, v'shachanti b'socham, it's natural for us. V'akum l'fi ma'alasam. And therefore, says the Maharal in conclusion, how many mitzvot do you think HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave to the nations of the world? Sheva. Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. Hashem gave them seven mitzvot. Why? Because that's their world. Their world is a world of sevens. Va'akom l'fi ma'alosam nosam lahem zayin mitzvot. Shem sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. As of course is well known to us. But now we understand why. None of the numbers are arbitrary. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu give us the Yom Tov of Shuas after counting 7 weeks of seven? And why do the nations of the world have only seven mitzvot? And we have so many more. And why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't make the whole world Jewish and give the whole world the Torah and give everyone a higher level soul? Because then it wouldn't be an Olam Tivi. But again, we've been entrusted in a very, very special way to be that bridge between the Olam HaTivi and the Olam HaNivdo. And Mirat Hashem will continue next time and will describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to the nations of the world. And not only did they not want it, but they weren't able to take it because it's against their very mahus. And again, for us, a life of Tosfos is part and parcel of our very nature.